The Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Don't stop him. For no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and go to hell into the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life lame than to have 2 feet and go be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It's better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and be thrown into hell, where their worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
You may be seated. I invite the children to come up. Well, you guys are all over there. Well, how would it be if I come over here so I can actually see you? All right. Besides, this is a lot more comfortable than the seat over there. So, how many of you have cut off your hand? Anybody cut off a hand? No? How about your foot? You got both feet? Okay. How about your eyes? You got both eyes? Well, then you guys are pretty good. Because in the Gospel it says if your hand causes you to do something wrong, you should just cut it off. Do you think Jesus means that literally? I don't think so either, because we wouldn't have very many of us with any hands or feet. We'd all be blind. So Jesus really wants us to just remember that he loves us enough that he doesn't want us to do those kinds of things, but he does want us to be like salt. Do you like salt? Do you? Yeah. When I grew up on a farm, we had these salt blocks. Some of you, anybody on a farm here? You know what a salt block is, yeah? Did you ever taste it?
Yeah.
Did you? You're not supposed to listen, guys. This is just for us. Yeah,
I did too.
Yeah, I did too. And even after the cattle had licked it down a ways, it still tasted good. But, you know, back in the old days, they used to take salt and they'd put it in an oven. And that was kind of an insulator. It helped the bread to rise and keep the oven an even temperature. But at one point, the salt would become worthless. And what they would do is throw it out and put it on the road. Because once it loses its saltiness, Jesus says, it's no good. So Jesus wants us to always be salty. Well, maybe not literally salty, but always doing his will. And we can do that, can't we? Yeah. Next week, I'm going to do something different. So I'm not going to tell you what. I'm going to be a little salty myself. So let's pray. Thank you, God, that we all have our hands, our feet, and our eyes. Thank you, God, that you give us salt not just to taste, but also to live. Help us to be the salt of the earth. Help us to be the children you call us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thank you. How many of you have a GPS? All right, now we all trust that GPS 100%, right?
No.
What? The GPS knows everything. It knows every road and every street. But even though it claims to know everything, we know that it doesn't. Because this past week we had a good example. We were trying to get to the habitat. Now, Dean had taken us around and showed us, but you know, when you drive around town, you can't always remember which street, what's on. So we plugged it into the GPS, 150 East William Street, and we went up the street from the parsonage up there and got to Williams, and instead of telling us to turn right, it told us to turn left. And we started wandering around trying to figure out, where is this place? And finally had to call somebody to get the right directions. We don't always have the right directions. And sometimes we think we know what we're doing. We think we have the right answers in ourselves. But it doesn't always work that way. There's a song that Paul Anka wrote and Frank Sinatra made famous. It was My Way. Now, if you like the song, the melody's okay, but if you listen to the words, it's rather depressing. You know? Nothing is going right in this guy's life. You think, why are you bothering? And the end, the only redeeming thing was, he did it his way. Well, if we look at the Bible, we realize that the people in the Bible who tried to do it their way always had trouble. It starts with Adam and Eve. Now, God has given them this gorgeous garden with everything they could hope for. But what do they want? They want to be like God. They want it their way. They don't want to necessarily do it God's way. Well, you follow through with all of the characters of the Bible, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, right on down. The same thing holds true. They got into trouble because they were trying to do things their way instead of listening to the Word of God. The prophets again and again and again tell us the story of how God's people went in wrong directions because they were trying to do it their way. When the children of Israel were released from slavery and escaped slavery and ended up at the promised land, they too begin to complain because things aren't the way they used to be. Things aren't perfect. You know, they had the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic and all that good stuff to eat back there. And fish, all they could eat. And now out in this wilderness, all I've got is this dumb manna. Yuck. After a few days of manna, they had it. And they were complaining. So Moses assigns 70 elders to go out there and ask God to put his spirit on them. And they do. And then we come to the story where Joshua is one of those who makes the same mistake. Eldad and Medad aren't doing it our way. No, they're going out there and they didn't come. We don't know whether they were playing golf or hunting or, you know, what could have had a hot date. I don't know what they were doing. It doesn't really matter. But they weren't there. They didn't receive the same spirit as everybody else. It's kind of like some of us get when we have a Jehovah Witness or a Mormon at our door. Aside from the fact that they are doing what God calls us to do, we get irritated because they don't do things our way. And Moses says to them, would that all God's people would have the Spirit of the Lord. Well, you know, there happens to be a song. And as you will learn, if I'm here long enough, usually I find a song in the scriptures that you may not have thought about. But it follows that theme that Moses had, all God's people. And this one is called All God's Critters Got a Place in the Choir. If you know it, sing along. Even if you know just the refrain. And there's a, well, we'll get to that. Here it goes. All God's critters got a place in the choir. Some sing low, some sing higher, some sing out loud on the telephone wire. Some just clap their hands or pause or anything they got. Now, this is where you get to come in if you don't know the words. You get to clap your hands or your paws or your feet or anything you got, okay? If your hands don't clap well, use your feet, okay? When we get to that point. Listen to the bass, it's the one on the bottom where the bullfrog croaks and the hippopotamus moans and groans with a big to-do. The old crow cow just says, moo. All God's critters got a place in the choir. Some sing low, some sing higher, some sing out loud on the telephone wire. Some just clap their hands or pause or anything they got. Now the dog and the cat, they take up the middle while the honeybee hums and the cricket fiddles. The donkey brays, the pony neighs, the old coyote howls. Woo! Everybody can howl. All God's critters got a place in the choir. Some sing low, some sing higher, some sing out loud on the telephone wire. Some just clap their hands or pause for anything they got. Now listen to the cop where the little bird sings on the melodies with the high note ringing. The hoot-owl hollers over everything. The jaybird disagrees. Ooh. All God's critters got a place in the choir. Some sing low, some sing higher, some sing out loud on the telephone wire. Some just clap their hands or pause for anything they got. Now singing in the nighttime, singing in the day, the little duck quacks and he's on his way. The opossum ain't got much to say. The porcupine talks to himself. Oh, all God's critters got a place in the choir. Some sing low, some sing higher, some sing out loud on the telephone wire. Some just clap their hands or pause for anything they got. Now it's a simple song, living out song everywhere. The ox and the fox and the grizzly bear, the grumpy alligator, the hawk above, the sly raccoon and the turtle dove. All God's critters got a place in the choir. Some sing low, some sing higher, some sing out loud on the telephone wire. Some just clap your hands or pause or anything they got now. Now, I promise you, Pastor John did not bribe me to sing that song just to recruit more choir members, okay? Just keep that straight. But I'm sure he wouldn't turn you down because he has a place in the choir too. James the Apostle writes about people who are like that, who don't realize that it includes, the church includes everybody. All God's critters got a place in the church. Last week, if you remember, James wrote about people who were complaining and grumbling because they didn't have this or they didn't have that. Kind of like the Israelites out in the wilderness, complaining and groaning. And he said, if you remember, he said, it's because you don't pray. Or because you pray for the wrong thing. You pray for what I want. You pray only for me, myself, and I, instead of praying for the needs and the loves and the joys of others. And today he goes on and he says in this lesson that if there is anybody who is suffering, they should pray. But if you're cheerful, if you're happy, then sing songs of praise. Now, let me make one thing clear if you want to join the choir. It says songs of praise. The psalmist says, make a joyful noise. It doesn't say make a perfect sound. The choir would appreciate having you sing on tune. But if you can make a noise, you're welcome to sing. That's what he's saying. All God's critters got a place there. And all God's people got a voice. What I hate to see, and you know, I want to compliment you. I've been many churches two, three times this size, and I've never heard a congregation sing like you did. This is fantastic. Give yourselves a hand. You know, this is only the second time I've done this liturgy. So you led me through that. This is the feast beautifully. Just fantastic. James goes on and he says, is any sick? Call on the elders. Call on the church. It's not a matter of praying just for yourself. If you're suffering, if you're hurting, call on others to pray for you. Agnes Sanford has written a number of books on healing prayer. In one of them, she talks about how she went through this dark night of the soul. And she said she was in such a depression, despite the fact that she had prayed for people all over the world and seen miracle after miracle. She is down in the dumps. She said it was like being in a deep, deep well, and you couldn't even see the light of day. Her neighbor came over to visit with her, and she was telling her neighbor just how down and depressed she was. And her neighbor said, Agnes, stop praying for yourself. Let me do it. I don't know if any of the anybody, I'm sure everybody here has had those times when you're feeling down and you just don't have the energy to pray or the words to pray for yourself. That's what we're for. All God's critters have a place in prayer. And he calls us to do that. When Jesus is sending out his disciples, he's sending them out to heal. You notice he's not doing all of it himself. He's sending them out. And there's one character out there who, some reason or other, is able to heal in Jesus' name. And this is almost a repeat of the first reading, isn't it? Where Medad and Eldad were out there doing the thing, and they hadn't been part of the congregation. And in this case, John takes Joshua's place, and John says, hey, Jesus, there's this guy out there healing in your name, and he wasn't even at St. Luke's to receive the blessing. And Jesus says, oh, don't worry about it. If he's not against us, he's for us. Let him pray. Let him heal. If he's doing it in my name, he's spreading the good news. And I would suggest that all of you be in that mood too. One of the things I found very helpful is to have something to pray with. Maybe you can take one of these and pass them around. Here, I'll give you one. Take one for each of you. Put them in every room in the house if you want to. But they're a little prayer card. Sometimes we don't have the words. And sometimes we need something to give us some guidance. By the way, I have more. I really am serious. If we want St. Luke's to become the church that God wants it to be, we need to pray that that will happen. It doesn't just happen, but knowing that all God's critters got a place. Thank you, Pastor. That's what's important. And God calls us to remember that we have been part of His body from the very beginning. And when we receive His body and blood in communion, He is filling us with His light and His holiness so that we can go out and share that holiness with others. Now, there are times when we have to admit that the way things are done aren't my way or anybody else's way. I'm here to tell you today that I am not here to change St. Luke's. I am not here to force anybody to do anything they don't want to. What I'm here to do is to love you and to pray for you daily. And this is my promise, that I will be doing that. And I ask you to do the same. For me, my wife, and your family, the other critters in the choir. So if we can do that, we can be the people of God God has called us to be. That's the good news. So may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.